I mean, if I'm being honest, I feel like we don't really need to do much of a show. Like,
I don't know if I have it in me, Glenn. I might laugh the whole time.
Rita came in here at halftime, and Rita said, we drinking.
And I think it's starting to hit me, guys.
It feels good, though. Like, I got to be honest.
This whole game has been funny.
I mean, I don't know what to say here. The Ravens are going to lose whatever the final score is going to be. We decided we had enough. I mean, they're not trying, so we're going to go ahead and start. If I attempt, by the way, we're in the Chesapeake Employers Insurance studio. If I attempt to have a legitimate conversation about this football game, all right, here's what I'll say. I had absolutely no expectations whatsoever. I believe that the nature of, like, the Ravens defense and it being a rivalry and all that, they could be competitive. And for the most part, they were competitive, right? The defense.
Oh, that's where you're going with this?
Hang on. I'll make my point. Hang on. You're stepping.
I'm going to let you speak. I'm going to go ahead and let you finish.
Here's what I'll say. I had no expectations, but yet the frustrating part of this game is that it still somehow feels like something that got away from you. I'm frustrated by the fact that they just didn't try. Like, that part, I'm not telling you that I think they could have, that they would have won if they would have taken a few more shots, thrown a few more balls, taken a couple more chances. I don't know, people are pulling out what happened. They did take a chance at the end of the first half, right? It didn't work out for them. But
you know what, though? It didn't work out. Luke Wilson was the person that literally just dropped the ball on third down.
Yeah,
Now
Luke,
we see why he was on the street.
Yeah, I don't think Luke is long for an NFL career at this point. I think he's on the tail end. Good guy, it seems like, but I think he's at the tail end. It's hard to be frustrated by it. It's hard to be bothered by what you saw because they weren't playing with any of the football players,
it's
right?
It's hilarious, like, Glenn. Like, literally, this is funny to me.
But it would have been nice.
You know why this is funny to me?
Why?
Let you finish. What would have been nice?
It would have been nice if they would have taken a chance every now and then on third down and said, let's try to convert this. Let's see if we can't get something going somehow. And again, the odds suggest they wouldn't have. I'm not suggesting that the Ravens got in their own way and they screwed it up and the players would have all been just fine. I'm not saying anything like that. I'm saying it would have been nice to try. It would have been nice. Let's just see if on 3rd and 10 we think about a play that might be able to work and we could convert. Let's try and see if we can't throw the ball downfield somehow. They didn't try to. And that's the only part that you leave yourself saying, man, I wonder. I wonder what could have been if they would have tried.
I think to be fair, right, they've only had, walk-through practices, if I can recall. They've only had walk-through practices on Monday and Tuesday before they left.
Mm-hmm.
So they really didn't have an opportunity to really practice. And I think that that's the part that we need to acknowledge, that we wanted a lot of things in terms of, like, the play calling and the chances. And I don't think they had the opportunity. I think that they stayed away from it because of the fact that they weren't able to practice in the way that they would have liked on a regular week. This is a different situation because it's not like, oh, Lamar got hurt in the last game, so we're going to practice with RG3 with the starters.
Right.
This is a completely different dynamic. Nobody practiced. And so I think that they had to come up with a game plan that was essentially as limited as it could be. And that's what you got today. Now, there are times where I really felt like they could have done some things better in terms of play calling that could have helped RG3 in a situation, and they didn't do that. But honestly, I am surprised that this game is it really should be 14-19 at the moment because Luke Wilson should have caught that ball. I know that the people are going to come in and make the comments about Harbaugh taking the points. I'm cool with him not taking the points because the play was executed fine. The guy just didn't catch the ball. We would not have this conversation had he caught the ball. So I'm cool with that. I think that the bigger issue is that they didn't call the delay of game on the Steelers at that half.
I hate it. It's so funny.
I'm just talking about that play. I'm not blaming the refs.
No. And that's the thing. I'm backing you up here.
Yeah.
I hate bitching about officiating.
I
hate
too.
It.
I do too.
But there's no gray area here. We all saw what we saw. Dude laid on top of It was Justice. It was Justice, or was it Gus? It was Gus,
right? It was Gus.
Dude, Vince Williams laid on top of Gus Edwards. Laid on top of him. There is no gray area here. There is no, yeah, but they don't. This was an utter miss.
Yes.
And I understand your frustration. Once it was missed, should they have changed their plan? Should they have aborted what they were going to do and try to do something else? Like, maybe that's what they should have done. But that is the story of what happened at the end of the first half. It's insane that wasn't called.
Yep.
It's absolute bat-ass that wasn't called. We're not talking about a judgment call like a pass interference or a hold that was close, but it doesn't seem like it's been called the same way. We're talking about the type of thing where, like, there's literally 13 guys on the field and they don't bother to call
Correct.
It. Like, we're talking about something. There's no judgment
right,
here.
Right.
We all saw what we saw.
And you knew that was going to happen. They were going to do as much as they were allowed. And,
by the way,
and the refs allowed it.
Credit,
that's what happened.
Credit
there.
To Vince Williams. Credit to the Steelers. That's what they should have done.
Yeah,
like,
don't get me wrong. Like, yeah.
What the hell does it matter to them?
As a Ravens fan, I'm pissed about it. But if I was a Steelers fan, I would be like, well, that was what they're supposed to
Correct.
Do. And so, you're not. It is what it is there, but I'm more mad about that than I am about the play that happened, because the play that happened
worked.
Should
right.
have worked
right.
if the guy catches the ball. And it ain't even like it was out of reach for the guy to catch the ball. He just simply dropped the ball, and that's the problem. We knew.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Oh,
oh, boy.
Oh, they bought the cover. They
no.
bought the cover.
No.
They bought the cover.
No.
They bought the cover. They covered, baby. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh.
Now that people are going to start yelling at us that we started the show early.
I don't give a damn. They're not winning this football game. Okay? Get it in your heads. Yes, I've been drinking, but that's the truth. They are not winning this football game. Okay?
Rita, they still have all their timeouts.
They're not winning, Glenn. Do you want to watch? Hey, do you want to keep watching this
game? Oh, we're now going to do a different show because Trace McSorley just threw a long touchdown from Hollywood Brown. So now we're going to do like the watch-along show, which, by the way, for what it's worth, I think people enjoy the watch-along shows. I think they like, I've said before, we should, when you come in here and hang out, we should probably turn the mics on.
No, we shouldn't because
we had ended up having.
I've been cussing in here.
Yeah, there's been a bit of that.
I'll be cussing in here, y'all. So
Hollywood Brown ends up evading a tackler and getting a long touchdown. It's a one possession game again, and we decided we could start the show because the Ravens were doing so little offensively.
They're not winning this football game, Glenn. Stop. You're trying to make it seem like we started way too soon. Listen.
Rita, it could be the greatest win in Ravens history.
Hey,
it could
dog.
Be
hey,
the
hey,
most
hey,
unbelievable.
And if that happens, I'm going to run out.
Could
I'm going to run out, and I'm going to go up and down the steps.
Well, oh, my God.
That's a lot of steps, y'all. I just want y'all to know it's a lot of steps. I might not make it. If I don't come back, that means I died. But.
You mean to promise that. If the Ravens win, what are you going to do?
I'm going to run.
You're going to run?
Should I do all four?
I mean, you probably should, right? Like,
I don't think I'm going to make it past that first flight. Hey, y'all, I counted today. It's 24 steps per flight. I ain't going to make it past that first flight.
Right.
I might have to take the elevator.
All right, let me get to a couple of the comments before we react to the fact that the Ravens are not – it isn't actually over.
It is over.
It's not. It's not, though.
It's 258 remaining.
even if the – by the way, right here, I would honestly go for an onside kick. I know this is crazy.
No, you should. If you want to try to win the football game.
Because a field goal still only keeps it a one-possession game, I would go for an – because a field goal is not the end of the world. Like, you're going to need a touchdown. I would go for an onside kick to double – like, give yourself one more chance of figuring out a way to win this football game. With the much time and the timeouts, they decided to kick it off. But I would have gone for an onside kick. John Colson, our boss, says, hey, you're not supposed to come on until the game is out of reach. We were pretty confident.
Do you want us to start over? I feel like this is great content
right now. It is good content.
Do you want us to start over?
Project Game Day Post Game Show is brought to you by Wise Markets. I think they'll be happy with this. from Josh, trying to head home before the game ends. No, we're gonna hang for a minute because we did a little drinking.
Well, technically we're gonna wait till the game is over.
Yeah, right. Like,
I just thought it was like over. So then now it's just gonna be over.
If the Steelers had scored on the previous drive, we're gonna be like, all right, that's enough.
Well, like, I thought that they were, and that's why we, honestly, guys, we thought that they were going to score, and that's why we were like, all right, y'all, because they were getting first downs, and we were like, all right, we ain't going to stop them, it appears. Let's just go ahead and start.
Yeah. Oh, are they going to call that incomplete, or are they going to call that a fumble? What are they calling that?
They called it incomplete.
Okay. Boy, we've had a couple of these today.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it's out of bounds anyway, right?
I know. I don't know what the rule is for how the clock stopping. I don't know how that works.
Well, they're still outside of 2 minutes, though, right?
But I thought.
If it's an incomplete pass.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, well, that's.
It stops
that's
the clock.
Correct. Catch.
Oh.
So, yeah, that's the problem. So the clock keeps running.
Yes, it does.
And so that's why you really wanted that to be an incomplete.
Right, you wanted it to be an incomplete.
Your timeouts, I think, actually, the hell with it. You should challenge because worst case scenario, it's not you call a timeout. I mean, they should challenge even if they're not going to lose it because they're going to call a timeout anyway.
That's a fumble.
I think it is too, but if you're going to call, they're not going to call timeout? Oh. Why are the Steelers snapping the ball so early? What in the world is going on?
What if they get the ball back? The Ravens get the ball back.
That's one of the most insane things I've ever seen. Why in the world did the Steelers snap the ball with 15 seconds still on the play clock?
Apparently they're not as bright.
My God. What
shout out to my guy, JMK TV show, because he literally put us on blast on Twitter.
Did he really?
Yes.
Did he really?
I died laughing at the NFL Chicken Press Box online, starting the post-game show early. They did it just before Trace to Hollywood. If we pull this off, it would be insane.
I mean, but we get credit for it, right? Like, we're the ones that turned everything around by calling it. Don't we get credit if that's the way this goes? I cannot believe the Steelers just did that. Like, that. Y'all tell me about how great of a coach Mike Tomlin is. They just snapped the ball with 15 seconds on the play clock. 16, maybe. I mean, there was tons of time on the play clock when they snapped the ball. What the hell is going on?
Hey, man. It's a pick. Oh.
Oh, my God.
It just lobbed up in the air. Like, I really thought it was just going to be like. It just sat there in the air.
But this is the crazy part. If they hadn't, like. Now, the Ravens technically can still get one more shot to get a stop here because.
I'm sorry.
I'm with you.
I'm sorry.
Hang on a second. This is insane that just worked for him. I mean, that's nuts.
Literally.
He just tossed
Why
the ball
Why somebody
up in the
just
air.
Ain't jump in front of him? Come on, y'all.
Just tossed
they
the ball
They over it
the
like
air.
Us. Look, they might their mind might be in the locker room.
I mean, they don't feel it. It doesn't seem like they're very interested in this. They snapped the ball with 15 seconds left on the play clock. Like, they did that.
What was that? Chuck
they
Clark.
They did that.
What was that, Chuck
like,
Clark?
Legit, they did that. I can't believe that happened. But then, all right, yeah, so that's a bummer. They convert. This is what we're doing.
But you have, you still have one timeout left, and you still
and
have
the
two-minute warning.
So they could have run. I mean, it's not that different. I guess it's going to work out for them. They could have run another 15 seconds off the clock, though. They would be snapping the ball right here with, like, 2:09 left on the clock. And, I mean, like, it's basically going to be the same thing either way. I assume they're going to run the ball. All they've done is throw the ball all day, right?
Because they haven't been successful running the ball, right? Like they've shut that down pretty successfully.
And their underneath throws are kind of like runs, I guess.
Yes.
Yeah, but now you have to work the clock. Oh all right. Now it's over. Okay. Y'all could have been mad at us, but now it's over.
But the good news is, right, if this ends the way that it does right now and they don't score, like break out with a long touchdown, they cover.
You get your cover. That's what matters.
And that's what you want, right? If you're a betting guy, you take the, what was it, 11? The plus 11.
So if you're listening to the post-game show later, you're probably confused by this because we started the post-game show, then it became a football game again, and then we had to go back into doing a post-game show. It wasn't really a football game. It was pretty. All right. Thank you, Rita. Thank you.
I know y'all think that this is going to be some type of miracle, but it ain't.
It's not happening now.
All right.
Well, they had a chance. They had two plays.
They covered. I'm good with that. You know why? Because the Steelers barely beat a bunch of guys that they don't even know existed. I'm literally like, I didn't even know who the center was until today, Glenn. I didn't. I don't even know who Rivers is. The guy named Rivers is on the team right now.
Chauncey Rivers.
And he's playing defense, and I don't know who he is. Who's that guy?
So Chauncey Rivers was an undrafted free agent out of Mississippi State. Mississippi State? I think so. He was on Last Chance U. That's the only reason why I know about him. And he was actually cool on Last Chance U. I liked him on Last Chance U. So
you know about him because of a TV show. I know about him because you just told me. Literally, that's how this just went down.
Somebody was saying that you couldn't challenge there and lose a timeout. No, the point was I thought they were going to call a timeout.
Right.
Because I didn't expect that the Steelers were going to run a play with 15 seconds on the clock.
Right.
So calling a challenge, throwing a challenge or calling a timeout is essentially the exact same play, except for the fact that if it's ruled as an incomplete pass somehow, and I didn't look at it enough to know if there was any chance. I think that the call was right. But if it's ruled as an incomplete pass, you get your timeout back.
Right. I agree.
Worst case scenario, you're in the same spot that I thought you were going to be in. But again, the Steelers kind of screwed with that by deciding to do whatever. Whatever. Who cares? All right. Let's go through some of these comments. Tom, they should have brought McSorley in much sooner.
No. Look, RG3, McSorley, interchangeable.
I mean.
What I hope you guys learned today, though, is that Lamar Jackson has done a lot for this football team. And I think that we can all agree here that Lamar Jackson, had he played, would have made this a football game. I hope that you guys understand Lamar Jackson being here potentially changes the outcome of this game, because the Steelers have not done anything to make us think that they are a great 11-0 team. Soon to be 11-0 team.
Nope.
So I hope you guys appreciate Lamar based on the way that the guys play. And look, if you want to give McSorley his props for the Hollywood, Brown, because we're not calling him Hollywood anymore. We're going to call him Mr. Brown. So if you guys want to give him the props for the Brown touchdown, I'm cool with that. That's fine. But Trace McSorley arm is weak. He doesn't have the same intangibles that Lamar has, and I think that we can all agree this is really a game if Lamar plays this football game. I think that's a fair assessment.
I agree. Here's what I say. I don't know that they win it because it's football, right? Like,
right.
I just don't know.
Luke Wilson going to drop that ball no matter who throws the ball to him. So there's that, right? But at the end of the day, like, I hope you guys appreciate Lamar a little bit more. I'm fine with us critiquing him. I'm fine with us giving him the criticism that he deserves.
He's not been great.
He's had moments where he's not been great. But remember, the same Lamar just 4 weeks ago, I believe, played against the same team, had four turnovers, and they lost by 4 points. They scored 24 points. Now, what's happened today, this is a rivalry. And that's the part that I'm not surprised if they cover, because a rivalry game is always going to be a trenches type of game. It is fair for us to say, okay, they got all these guys out, so this should be a blowout. It just never really works that way when you're playing against guys that you play two times a year. You know that team very, very well. You know how to coach against that team very well. And that's what's worked in the Ravens' favor today. Obviously, if they had more talent around them, if guys were more healthy, this is a different situation. But we can't stop what COVID happened to this team or to this season.
Correct.
So they did what they had to do, which in my opinion was cover. And honestly, you got to go into next week and say, okay, if we can get some guys back, we can obviously turn this around. Because KZ said this on Twitter. Shout out to KZ. KZ was like, look, they're going to lose to Pittsburgh. And then they're going to start anew the next week against Dallas and make a run. And that's very possible for this team.
But they better. This is the part we don't want to talk about. They're 6-5 now.
I had them going 11-5, Glenn, before the season even started.
I hear you, but there's no room for error now.
Correct.
You can't trip up against the Browns.
Correct.
Like, there is no room for error. There's no room. You're probably going to have to play again next week without – I guess the math says there's a chance that Lamar could be back next week to play the Cowboys, but you're probably going to have to play without Lamar against the Cowboys next week, right? Like, that's probably going to end up being the case. So you have no margin for error at this point. You have to win every game. You have to get the job done in every game you play for the rest of the season, because there's no guarantee that a 10-6 team is getting into the playoffs, even in a 7-team playoff format. There's just no guarantee. Looking around the AFC, there's a number of good football teams. And there's no guarantee that 10-6 gets you in. So you better not slip up against the Browns. You better not slip up inexplicably in one of these other games that nobody thinks you can. You better get the job done the rest of the way just to get in. I talked about this. Our friend Jeremy Kahn said all along, look, they can lose both the Titans game and the Steelers game and still be fine to get the playoffs. And I've said, mathematically, I hear you. Like, mathematically, you're right about that. But at the same time, you got to do it. Like, if that's the way this plays out, and again, based on who they had to play with today, it's hard to be disappointed by what occurred on the football field today. But that being said, you better go do it. You better not slip up in the process. You're going to be able to have more normal practices moving forward. You better look, whoever's out there a week from now, you better look like a more functional football team when you play next Tuesday night against the Cowboys. Because I get it, none of us think the Cowboys are any good. We think they stink. But they're going to try. We assume they're going to try. You better look like a functional football team at that point.
I agree.
From Paul, not one gadget or trick play all game. When you have nothing to lose, does Roman not have plays like that in his toolbox? I don't know that it's that he doesn't have plays like that in his toolbox, Paul, as much as it's you didn't have time to implement any of those. You didn't have time to put any of them into your offense. You didn't practice this week.
That's my point, and that's why we probably saw a lot of guys going down today as well. Marcus Peters, RG3, Jimmy Smith. These guys haven't practiced in I don't know how many days, and their bodies aren't used to that, not during the season. They're not used to taking such a long break, so there are probably some muscle spasms and things going on that aren't really allowing guys to play at full speed. I do want to say this, Glenn. You mentioned that they have four linemen, correct?
Healthy defensive linemen.
Yep. For them to have played, and I know James Conner isn't playing today, mm-hmm. but still, for them to have played the way that they played and for them to stop the run the way they did today, mm-hmm. it's something to be said. This defense never gave up, and I think that is something to be said. The offense really is the one that got hit, I think, the most in terms of, like, impact,
no
right?
No question.
Calais hasn't played in a couple of weeks. Brandon hasn't played in a couple of weeks. So we already knew what the defense looked like without those guys. We did not know what the offense looked like without the guys that they're missing today. And I think that we expected them to be inept on offense. But that defense, with that defensive line having such a thin margin of error, has played well today. And I think that that's just something that we have to have a silver lining for about this game. Because it literally, they only gave up 19 points. And it could have been a lot worse.
One of those obviously was the pick six, right?
Right.
Like, they didn't really give up 19 points.
Correct.
They gave up next to nothing.
Oh, that's a valid point. That's a valid point. One of them is a defensive touchdown.
And they made 12 points, basically. They gave this team an opportunity to find their way into the football game. This team just never did.
Right.
They never found their way into the football game with the exception of scoring off the short field on the special teams play that made it 7-6. Outside of that point, the offense just never found their way into the football game.
Correct.
Again, that goes back to what I'm saying, Rita, is like, I'm not angry. I can't be angry.
Is anybody angry?
You can't
based
possibly.
Based on the comments, is anyone angry?
No one's angry.
I think that we all expected them to lose, right? I'm sorry. And look, I get if you're an optimistic person and if you're one of those people that I never expect that, that's fine. Look, you're living in a la-la land that I don't live in.
Right.
18 guys being out or 16 guys being out today, and a lot of them starters,
right.
told me that they were not, including the starting quarterback, told me that this was not going to be a W for the Ravens. But what you have to be positive about is that they did not give up in this football game. You have to look at that as a positive for them to roll with for the rest of the season.
The only spin I'll give to that, Rita, is that I am frustrated because I just wonder, and I keep saying this, I just wonder, what if they had said on a third down and 10, let's take a chance. Let's see if we can't throw the ball downfield and something good might happen, right? And I know that they were clearly afraid of the risk today. They were clearly afraid of the risk of what could go wrong.
I just wish they did more.
I wish they would have a couple of times taken a chance. Gadget plays, Paul, yeah, I hear you. Like, I mean, they're fun. It's just it's very difficult without having full practices to implement them, to understand that your offensive linemen know what their responsibilities are on that play, those things. It's very difficult to put gadget plays in when you don't practice, when the only get-together you have had to be socially distanced in order to be allowed to do it. It's tough for you to put gadget plays in those circumstances. So that particularly can't be frustrated by, but on a third and 10, to say, let's call a play where the right wide receivers run past 10 yards and let's see if we can't get the ball out and complete it. Take a chance. We know that there might be an interception. We know that something might go wrong, but we accept that without it, without hitting on a couple of those, we can't win the football game. We can't just keep doing the most conservative thing and hoping for the best, hoping that they'll screw up enough that we can win the game. We are going to have to go make a play at some point in order to win this football game, and that's the part that you just – I just wish they would have tried a couple of times to make some plays.
I agree with that.
From Josh, the end of the second quarter stings. Of course it stings.
Obviously, right? Because this changes the outcome of the game. But also, I think it changes the outcome of how the Steelers probably would have played, too. I still think they would have come out with a win. Another thing that stings is that the Ravens were in field goal range, and I think they had a holding penalty that pushed them back.
Yeah, in the third quarter, and then they didn't get any yards on third down.
Right. They ended up having a punt. Remember, because you was like, why is Justin Tucker not coming out? And we both figured out that they were at the open end of the stadium, which didn't allow them to do that. So, yes, there's 10 points that should have been on the board. I'm not mad at the Ravens for not kicking that field goal because if you've been to Pittsburgh and you know that open and they said that the wind gusts were out there tonight, it probably sails. So I'm not mad at that.
It's still a tough one for me, Rita. And
I get why they didn't do it. It would have been a 50-something yarder, I think, at that point, because remember, the holding puts them closer to the 40 yard line, I believe. So it would have been a 50-something yarder.
Yeah.
And I think that you have to play smart there. So for them, the smart play was to punt. The holding really, really hurt. And that's just what that is. But Luke Wilson not catching the touchdown obviously hurts a little bit more, mainly because he was in a position to make a play and he just simply didn't catch the football. That's the part that I think hurts a little bit more. But you know, these are the replacements, essentially, that the Ravens are playing with. So
it would have been a 56
yarder. I'm good on that. I think if they kick it on the other end that it's not open, I think he gets it with no problem. But I think that when you do it on that end, I'm good with the punt.
I think I am, too. I think here's what I'd say. I think it's the right call. I think at some point today, you were either going to have to do something aggressive or you were going to lose. Like, your only chance of winning the game was doing something borderline reckless in an attempt to try to figure out a way to win. I don't think you could keep hoping for the best all day and figure out a way to win the football game. As far as a football decision is concerned, of course, it is crazy to kick a 56-yard field goal into the open end of that stadium. It's nuts to do something like that, right? Like, you would never be okay with it. As far as was there a path to somehow winning this football game, I think it required you to do some reckless things. I think it required you to get third and 10 was a reckless play, the way this offense was put together and with who was playing quarterback and the offensive line that's makeshift in front of them. But I think you had to do some reckless things today or else there was no chance. Ultimately, you know, you play conservatively, you did the things you were supposed to do, and you come out losing 19-14, and that was about as best as you could have hoped for.
Yep.
I think it required a little bit of recklessness if you're going to have any chance to win. For what it's worth, does it probably fail? Yeah, I mean, it probably fails. But you might need to take a 5% chance at it working because that might have been your only hope in winning a football game like this today. That's the only reason why I still kind of think about it a little bit.
Yep.
Tom, I thought they did try, but RG3 just wasn't the answer. He wasn't the spark that they needed. Well, I mean, he's not the spark. He's not a spark.
He's a backup.
He's not a guy that should be
He's a backup.
Playing football in the National Football League. I mean,
he's
this
a backup.
Is the reality of it. Enzo says you're faded. Maybe he says I'm faded. I don't know.
Oh, Enzo Hush. That's my friend.
All right.
I'm not faded, actually. I am nice. I'm not faded. But the one thing about
Rita pours some drinks at halftime.
When the spirit comes to you, you mm-hmm. know, when the bourbon spirit comes mm-hmm. to you, it becomes clear. Everything becomes clear.
Clairvoyance? That's what you're dealing with?
You got some. I mean, no, and I say that because literally this game played out. I made all the jokes, but honestly, I thought that the Ravens would win, but I didn't think it would be any kind of blowout because you and I talked about
right.
this. And let's have the conversation because I know you got a lot of Steelers folks that watch the show. The truth is, y'all are the worst 11-0 team I've ever seen in my football life. And
by the way, I think the Steelers are a good football team.
I didn't say they were a bad football team. I said they were the worst undefeated team I've ever seen.
I'm pointing at you now.
I'm saying that they are the worst undefeated team I've ever seen. And if you let a bunch of guys that you didn't know existed cover on a football game today, I think you should be concerned.
I'm waiting to find out who Devontae Harris is, though.
I don't even know who that is.
I don't know who it is, but I liked him.
I did, keep him around.
I liked him too.
Like, all I know is that yes, you guys are still undefeated, and people still feel the Kansas City Chiefs are better than you. You should be concerned.
Josh, by the way, echoes your sentiment. I don't understand how this Pittsburgh's team is undefeated. Look, I don't. Here's what I say. I'm not going to utterly disrespect them.
I'm not disrespect. Whoa, 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 whoa. Hold on. When I say that,
we're pointing at each other. We're doing it. We look like a married couple right now. Like, I'm not saying that you did. I'm just saying I'm not going to. I'm not going to. This has nothing to do with
Rita. I'm not disrespecting them at all.
No, but I'm not telling. I'm not saying you are. I'm saying Glenn Clark. I'm not going to utterly disrespect them. Unrelated to Rita. Unrelated in any way. These two things have nothing to do. They're not correlated in any way. I'm just saying Glenn Clark, personally, I am not going to utterly disrespect them. I think they're a good football team.
They are a good football team,
Glenn.
That's
what I think they are. But do we believe that they're a great football team?
That's to be disputed, and that's what we're saying. I'm not saying the Steelers are not a good football team. They are, obviously. The record says they are, at the very minimum, a good football team.
Correct.
However, I've seen them play – well, I've watched them play more than two times. I've seen them play against the Denver game in which they let a Jeff Driskel almost win that football game. And I think that you –
I don't even remember who started for the Cowboys the day that they – the dude that played on my – Apollos. Garrett Grape or whatever.
Gilbert, excuse me.
Sorry.
Yeah. Gilbert, who played for my champion, Orlando Apollos, for the AAF league.
I don't think they actually crowned a champion.
Yes, they did. They gave it to him because they were undefeated, and he was the quarterback for that football team.
You're really excited about it.
Yes, because that was my team. So, look, they nearly pulled that out. They nearly pulled one out again. The Eagles nearly pulled one out. The Ravens had four turnovers and lost by four. And then now the Ravens have a bunch of guys that didn't play today, and they lost, and they covered. So I feel like that is a very good argument to say they are the worst 11-0 football team I've ever seen. I'm not saying that they're not a good football team.
Of course.
I am simply saying y'all ain't no New England Patriots. Y'all ain't beat nobody's ass. You're skating away. And then when the playoffs come, it's real gonna be real interesting if you guys play the Kansas City Chiefs. That's literally all I'm saying. Ryan Clark even came out and said what I said. You're famous. Your own Ryan Clark. The Steelers Ryan Clark. Even came out on Twitter and said that the Steelers don't look like they could beat the Chiefs in the postseason, because you know it's true. And that's all I'm saying.
By default, they're the second best team in the AFC.
Yes, they are. And that's the truth.
Like, right now,
if they lined up
and played the Titans right now, I don't know how. They beat the Titans already, so I'm not going to have – But they beat the Titans by a miracle missed field goal at the end of the game. I hear that.
But they won, so I'm not going to even do that.
I'm not saying they don't deserve to be considered the second best team in the AFC. I'm saying right now, if they line up and play the Titans, I don't think I would feel good.
Yes, because the Titans are actually pulling away. They actually look like they are in a prime right now that the Steelers don't look to be.
If the Ravens had all their players today, I don't know that I would have – felt comfortable that the Steelers would have won the football game. I think they're kind of a good football team.
No, they are a good football team. They're not a great football team, right. And that's just what it is.
I don't disagree with that. Tom says, when they did take chances today, Wilson and Brown dropped balls.
And that's the story.
That is fair.
I heard you at halftime. Obviously, I was here, and everybody was upset about the hardball call. I am not upset about the hardball call, because if Luke Wilson catches that ball, y'all are not having this conversation. It literally comes down to a guy that had an opportunity to make a play, and he didn't make the play. I have no problem with the aggressive play call, simply because you are playing against all odds with your backs against the wall. You didn't think that you had a chance probably coming into this football game, so you needed to make some kind of play. I have no problem with that. So at the end of the day, Glenn, they lose by 14, they would have been 17 points as opposed to 14.
Right.
They still lose the football game. That's basically my point. I have no problem with them taking the risk, because this was the game that you have to take risks for. This is the game that you stand up and say.
My complaint is they didn't take more risks.
And right. So that's what you've been lobbying for, is that the fact that they got real safe and they were doing things that honestly the Steelers were waiting for them to do, because they knew too that they were going to play safe. So the one time that they didn't play safe, okay, it didn't work out for them. But it's not because it didn't work. It's because the guy just didn't catch the ball. That's the difference. It's not like they blew up the play. It's not like the guy wasn't open. It literally was because he had an opportunity and he squandered on the opportunity. That's it. I have no problem with that play call. None.
I mean, you gotta catch that ball. There's no question.
Catch the
ball. You
gotta
catch the ball.
Literally, two passes he drops.
Even if you're a guy that just met the quarterback today.
Thank you.
Even if you just met him today.
Thank
you. If you're in the NFL, you have to catch
the ball.
No question.
Catch the ball.
KZ, let's call it like it is. The defense played great. The offense was as expected. The season starts on Tuesday. You have five games. You should win them all, 11-5 in the playoffs, and no excuse not to win out.
And he's been saying it. He literally said, KZ has been saying that they're not going to win against the Steelers, obviously, with everything going on, and that the new season will start against the Cowboys. And at this point, you do have an obligation to try to, at the very least, get in second place. 11-0 is you're asking for you to win out, and you're asking for the Steelers to lose out. And even if they do lose out, they swept the series. So it's nothing is going to change from that. All you have to do is worry about your own destiny. And luckily, the schedule works in your favor.
But let's talk about something. I think, what have the Ravens actually done this season that makes you super confident in them going into Cleveland in a couple weeks?
The one thing that makes me I'm not super confident, but the one thing that makes me positive about that is I don't think that Cleveland has played to their potential either.
I don't disagree.
So while they've done that, Baker Mayfield had a good game last week, but literally the weeks prior, he struggled. And so that is the positive, because this defense is still really good, and once they get back to full capacity, I think they have an opportunity here. And that's the part that I am positive about in terms of how they can turn that Cleveland game around.
I'm trying to say this the right way. It goes back to what I said earlier. I think they could win all five games. And again, I get that's the only one that you look at and you feel is even tricky of the group. The rest of them you look at and you kind of giggle about them. Like if the Ravens are the Ravens, you feel like they should easily win every other game. But the Ravens, the only thing they've actually – what have they actually accomplished this season? Now, you can point out they did beat the Browns handily the first time they played. They don't look anything like that team. The Browns don't look like anything like that team. If we separate from that – since that moment, the only thing the Ravens have actually done all season is they played a really good second half and beat the Colts, right? The only thing the Browns have done all season is they beat the Colts, right? I don't think the Ravens and the Browns are as separated as we want to believe they
are.
They're
not. Nobody's making that argument.
Right.
You can't make that argument. And as of right now, the Browns are in second place. So they've won the battle more than the Ravens have. But I think that, again, it works in the Ravens' favor that Baker Mayfield hasn't been lighting the league up by any means. Their run game has been really well, and then they do play action, and that's been beneficial for them. But, you know, Calais Campbell being there, if he is able to play when that game is played, and hopefully Brandon Williams, if he's able to play, I think gives you good chance to turn things around in that Cleveland game and sweep that series. Essentially, that's it. You can make the argument that the Giants have played better down the stretch, that, all right, the Cowboys, they lost real bad to the Washington football
team.
Yeah,
correct.
Thanksgiving.
Correct.
But that game was pretty competitive until, like, the fourth quarter.
They also
then it just kind of, like, blew up in their faces.
Right. They went for a fake punt when they had no need to, and everything fell apart. Now, again, everything did fall apart. It's easy to forget that it was a back-and-forth football game, and then they just insanely went on, like, a fourth and 10, backed up near their own. They decided to go for a fake punt, and it all just completely fell apart.
Just the thought of it is still funny to me.
It was nuts. And look, I mean, if these injuries to Marcus Peters and Jimmy Smith linger in some sort of way, I don't know that I can feel good about saying, hey, they got five games. As long as they go win all five, they're in great shape.
Marcus Peters went back out there and played. So what we hope is Marcus Peters was having some muscle issues due to the fact that he hadn't played or practiced in so many days. Jimmy Smith obviously has been dealing with his issues on and off for a few weeks. So that's the issue with that. But, I mean, you're right. I mean, look, luckily for them, they play some guys that are inferior based on record to them. And hopefully down the stretch, they can make some kind of run and right the ship.
We haven't gotten any update yet on Jimmy Smith. I'll keep trying to look for that because that's significant to me. That's significant. From John, I'm actually encouraged. They covered and fought hard. No complaints. Steelers are never beating the Chiefs with Patrick Mahomes.
They're not. And honestly, this is not no disrespect to the Steelers. It's none. I think we can all watch that football team and say that they have problems. They should have ran up the score, Glenn. They literally should have ran up the score on them. The first drive, he throws a stupid-ass interception. I don't know why he didn't see the linebacker there. He doesn't see it. What was it, the second or the third drive where he drops the ball in the end, where the wide receiver drops the ball in the end zone. They had opportunities and they dropped the football. You cannot do that against Kansas City because guess what? They don't drop the ball. They don't drop the ball. They don't. And so what we saw against Tampa on Sunday, I think, was obviously they changed some things around in the second half for Tom Brady, but literally Patrick Mahomes had, what, 300 and some odd yards at the half. Tyreek Hill had 200 yards at the half. And the Tampa Bay defense is a pretty decent defense. So if you guys aren't doing a back-and-forth scoring match with Kansas City, even if you do, if the Chiefs get the ball back last, I think all of us would bet our money on the Chiefs scoring and winning that football game, flat out. Are you against that?
No, not at all.
Oh, okay.
No, not at all. Not at all. Absolutely not. No question. I
go ahead and put T.J. Watt on Tyreek Hill and see how that works. Because T.J. Watt, put him on anybody that they have. Hartman, put him on anybody on that team and see how that works, if that's what you choose to do, Pittsburgh.
I agree. From KZ, if we want to complain, punting on 4th-and-2 with 11 minutes left was cowardly. I kind of don't disagree with that. I don't think they would have converted.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that.
But I don't disagree with that. Also, once you had already decided to go for it on 4th down once on the second
last. That's
what
I was just getting ready to say.
The drive before the touchdown, you decided to go for it once on 4th down. And then the next time you decided not to go for it on 4th down. And again, like I don't think that you're converting. I don't think that you're winning the football game. But at that point, if you don't, it's almost no chance, as ultimately they never got the ball back a second time.
Yeah, KZ, stop. Because you already know that they went for it on 4th-and-2, and they got the first down.
Right.
And then they didn't get the first down, and then they punted. So it's not like they weren't afraid. They did it already.
Well, but he's talking about even before that.
Look, at 4th-and-2, they took an opportunity, and they did it, and they converted. That's what happened towards the end of the game.
From AJ, they would lose this game even if all the starters played. Oh, this is AJ. Sorry. I don't know why I did that to myself. Why am I doing that to myself? Derek, not that it matters now, but do you think McSorley should have played when RG3 came up limping the first time?
He's the backup. He's the guy that probably gets the most snaps with the, you know.
I think we're obsessed with Trace McSorley, and
I'm not obsessed with him. He got a noodle arm.
Yeah, I don't know where that's coming from.
Hey, I saw a tweet from, I don't know who this was, because they called the pass the Marquise 80-yard bomb. Literally, it was like a 10-out. It was
right.
a 10-yard route.
And then
it was a bunch of yak. That man don't have a strong arm. Now, is RG3 accurate? No. But he has a stronger arm than Trace McSorley does. So, and he... He's the backup, guys. I don't know if you like it or not. I know that I felt some type of way about RG3 when he threw that pick six. Who else is here? But Trace McSorley wasn't going to win that football game either. It just wasn't really everything says it wasn't going to work in the Ravens' favor. He got lucky with the Hollywood part because I don't know what the defender was doing with the Brown pass. It worked in their favor, but essentially, no. RG3 has to start that football game. He runs the RPO probably just as good as Lamar does, so you have to let him start.
I agree. Like, I agree wholeheartedly. And part of that is I just don't think Trace McSorley is an NFL quarterback.
I don't think so either. I think he's a gadget player.
Now, I get it. Like, your answer back is, well, I don't know that RG3 is anymore either. Well, that's fine. Like, I hear you. If I thought they had an NFL quarterback on their roster, maybe I'd turn to him. The other thing to keep in mind, Trace McSorley hadn't practiced either because he had been on the COVID list before anybody else was.
Yep.
So Trace McSorley hadn't practiced since like a week before everybody else stopped practicing. So I think we're obsessed with Trace McSorley. I don't know if it's because there's some Penn State fans in the area.
Yes, that's exactly. And someone made a TikTok about a TikTok video.
That's a whole different thing.
The hype machine is up for Trace McSorley. But listen, at the end of the day, if you just watch what we saw with Trace McSorley, he ain't got the arm. Leave it alone.
Man,
literally, he's the third quarterback for a reason.
I'm blown away by all the fascination with Trace McSorley. John, I mean, you're fielding the old singer from Creed, Luke Wilson, in this game. Come on. For them to be competitive and with a chance is a miracle. Yeah, yes, but also you were. And that's the only frustrating part to me is you were competitive.
They were competitive.
And now I can't help but think about a couple of things here and there and what could have been.
But Glenn, I can't think about what could have been because it was never going to be because guys were out. I can't think that way.
I know.
The minute that I found out that J.K. Dobbins and Mark Ingram, even though they were off the list, didn't come, told me what I needed to know, which was that this game was going to probably not – they probably would cover,
right.
But at the end of the day, some really important pieces that potentially could have been a part of this game and weren't means that it's just not going to be their day.
No, I hear you. It wasn't going to be their day.
I mean, that's just what it is, right? So I don't even want to do the what ifs because I think we all went into this thinking that,
I know you're right,
16
Rita.
Guys is a lot of guys to overcome.
I know you're right, but yet they were in a football game.
Yes.
Ultimately.
Yes.
And that's the part that, it would help them a great deal if they would have won this game. We wouldn't be having the same conversation about them having to win out the rest of the way.
You're right.
Would have helped them a great deal to have won this football game. It also would have been really fun. It would have been fun as hell.
Oh, let me tell you something,
for
baby.
For them to win a football game.
All the trash would have been talked by me had they won.
I get it. I'm not disappointed, but yet I sit here sort of scratching my head like, man, could you have tried? Could you have given this a shot here? It could have been different somehow. I can't help but
have
a few of those
thoughts. Look, they did take a shot. You don't remember?
Yeah, at the end of the first half. I remember.
No, and even in the second half, before RG3 went out with the ice, he took a shot down the field and to Marquise Brown.
Yeah, that's right.
It didn't work out.
So, that was not a good ball. Not a good ball. That was on the second half. From John Goff, we don't lose another game this season. Y'all are more confident in that than I am. I'm just going to tell you that straight up. Y'all are way more confident in this team.
I give it an 83% chance that they don't. So that's a pretty high probability, but there's a 17% chance for me that's like, I don't know, because the Browns aren't bad guys, and the Giants have played better,
and
the Jags haven't been horrible. The Jags literally gave the Green Bay Packers a run for their money. So
the Ravens just haven't played all that well.
They haven't. We've
been distracted because of what's going on for the last 10 days. By the fact that this is a team that just hasn't played all that well. And this thing where I'm just supposed to count on, well, if they're all on the field, they're going to play well, I haven't seen that. I haven't gotten that from the Baltimore Ravens. So, would I favor them to win every game the rest of the way? Yes, I would. But am I confident that they're going to win every game the rest? No, I'm not at all. And I don't know, for example, that Lamar is going to be back on Monday night or on Tuesday night. I don't know that. Again, I got to get more of the math to figure out. Today, the math would have worked out that J.K. Dobbins and Mark Ingram could have played. They didn't, because part of the 10-day thing also involves you cannot have had a symptom. If you have any symptoms at all during 10 days, you don't get a 10-day clock at that point.
Correct.
10-day clock goes away. If you've had any symptoms at all, you have to have now multiple positive or negative tests.
And that's the only thing we can come up with why J.K. and Ingram didn't play. Maybe they did have symptoms. It's very possible.
They
didn't pass their tests.
This
so,
thing we were trying to pretend like we have can mathematically figure out this disease does not work. You might be able to return. Marlon Humphrey clearly had no symptoms, was able to return quite quickly. Not everybody is going to be the exact same when it comes to dealing with the disease. So we're all sitting back doing this. We were all sitting back yesterday talking about how they bumped it back. We're going to get J.K. Dobbins back.
And
well, that's not the case.
They didn't come.
I don't know.
They didn't even make the day
of
going playing.
I don't know if Lamar Jackson will play next Tuesday night. I don't know.
Right.
If he doesn't and Robert Griffin III is out, you got to play Trace McSorley. I got to be straight with you. I don't feel good.
I agree.
I'm not saying they can't figure out a way to win the game because the Cowboys stink and because
their
defense is so
good. And then obviously it allows them to practice, right? So there's that part of it. But again, would you rather have Trace McSorley play or would you rather have Lamar Jackson play? I mean, let's be clear here. Lamar Jackson is the unanimous MVP from a year ago.
There's no debate about that.
And Lamar has a much stronger arm than Trace McSorley, and he actually runs with the first team, so he knows a whole lot about that offense. He can run it a little bit better. So, yes, you want them to be ready for the Cowboys. But like you said, if Lamar is still showing symptoms, or if Lamar doesn't pass a negative test, he can't play. And that's why this whole they run the table thing is a real hard thing to assess, simply because we don't even know who's playing next week.
And that's to your question, Paul, which players currently on the COVID list will be technically be eligible to play next Tuesday? I would think
most of them would.
Well, anybody that was from the last, so like Geno Stone clearly would
not
be eligible.
Well, yes,
because
he was
right.
Because that just happened.
Matt Judon would not be eligible to return at that point. Although even that, I got to figure out what day, because even the day that we announce who actually had a positive, we still don't know if that was when the test was from that they failed. So I just think the answer is we don't know, if I'm being straight up with you. I don't think we're going to know, and the Ravens probably are not going to go out of their way to make that more publicly known.
Correct.
Because they don't want the Cowboys
Correct.
To know, right?
Correct.
Like, they want to be able to hide as much information as they possibly can.
That's something
can.
They'll probably wait to the 23rd hour to let you guys
Correct.
Know. So then they have to prepare differently.
I think that's going to be the case too. And from John, the more I think about it, the more disgust I have with the NFL actually sanctioning this product. It's embarrassing.
It is.
It's like a restaurant selling BLTs with vegan bacon when real bacon is advertised. The safety of the players and the arrogance of the league has, with the pandemic, has made me livid.
Thank you. I am so glad somebody is calling out the real culprit here, because last week, Glenn, all we heard was the Ravens this and how dare they, and I can't believe that they pushed these games back and da-da-da-da. And then you had Steelers players coming out and saying things, and it was ridiculous to me. No one knows about this virus. We're still literally learning about this virus just 2 days ago. Or I don't even know if it was 2 days ago, Glenn. I know just not long ago, they literally went from 10 days to 7 days.
They literally said you have to quarantine for 14 days, and now they're like,
No, but it went from like 10 days to be contagious to
right.
7 days.
Correct.
We're still learning about this virus. We don't know about this virus. And for you guys to, number one, assume that the Ravens were creating positive tests so they can have some type of weird advantage is a sick
Same.
Effing thing. I want to curse real bad. It's a sick,
I'm blaming.
It's a sick thing for people to say. I unfollowed a lot of people because of that. And Pittsburgh media should be ashamed of themselves, because they absolutely played a part into that whole process. Because what you can't do is sit here and complain about a game being pushed back, and then if they allowed those guys to play on Sunday and you had more positives that came after that, be upset if guys got exposed. You can't have it both ways. Do you want to be safe, or do you want to play with the risk? You can't have it both ways.
Fact.
And so I am pissed that we sit here and we get mad at the Ravens organization because one guy created this whole mess with an outbreak, yet we're not mad at the NFL for not having any kind of plan, not one plan, coming into the NFL season to learn how to mitigate this virus if an outbreak happens for these teams. Stop blaming teams. Blame the NFL for just saying, we're going to wing it.
Yeah, we're hope for the best.
We're going to hope for the best. They ain't even prepared. Because the saying is, we're going to hope for the best, but we're going to prepare for the worst.
They just did the first part.
They literally just did the first part. And if anybody sat here and just simply blamed the Ravens, which I'm fine with you holding them accountable, but if you didn't say anything about the NFL and their lack of doing something when they knew about this 6 months from the day that their season started, you're trash. And that's where I'm at with that.
Real quick, Bradley Bozeman spoke after the game, said the guys that didn't play said a lot of guys had symptoms. He doesn't think anybody is He doesn't think anybody is, quote, super sick, unquote. But having symptoms means 10 days out the window. So when we're doing the math on could guys come back next week based on 10 days, so if they got symptoms, and Bradley Bozeman saying a lot of guys had symptoms, no is the answer. 10 days is out of the question when you're dealing with somebody who's dealing with symptoms. Now, again, some of these guys go back. This is going to get too complicated for us to deal with right here. So
look, it's flu. Here's the problem too, Glenn. It's flu season as well.
Correct.
And so guys might have symptoms. It might be the flu. It might not be the flu. There's an incubation period between the first time that you get get exposed to 5 days that you don't get a negative test. We don't know about this disease. We don't know about this virus.
Yep.
We don't know about the virus. And that is the problem that I have with the NFL putting this trash product on TV today. And I have a problem with them having no plan with what to do if a team has an outbreak. No stopping the season for 2 weeks, no potentially bubbling these players into hotels that are local, nothing. They are just saying, we're going to attempt to go with a regular season as long as we possibly can. And if we can't, we're just going to keep pushing back the game as long as we possibly can. And it's trash.
You're not wrong. You ain't wrong in any of that. KZ does say, but Rita, the NFL is still going to hammer the Ravens for not following protocols. Watch. But apparently,
yes, because you know why? And guess what? They have everybody else doing their dirty work for them, including the Pittsburgh media. Mm-hmm. They have everybody doing their dirty work for them and saying that this is the Ravens' fault when we're in a pandemic an airborne virus.
Let's do it both ways, though, right? This was going to happen. Inevitably, it was going to happen.
Absolutely. It happened already with the Titans.
But still, there is a penalty that you pay. Like, you still have to. I think that both things can be true.
Yes, I agree.
If you don't do what you're supposed to do, you should be penalized for that, right? Like, that's the way it works. But nobody wants. Pittsburgh Steelers, I assure you, do not want anybody combing through all of their tape from the building for the last month, 2 months. To see who might have not been wearing a mask.
Glenn, do we really think all 32 teams are out there wearing masks? Listen, these are guys that are together every single day. There's a trust that you and I right now are not
wearing
masks.
We are breaking protocol.
We're not wearing masks right now.
Yep.
I am trusting you to not be around people. You're trusting me to not be around people. It doesn't mean that it's true. It just simply is what it is. So do we really think that guys who are together at minimum 8 hours a day are not wearing masks around each other? And that's the part that that I'm saying. It is real crazy if y'all think that people who are with each other every single day are not wearing masks. Yes, does it need to be accountability? I completely agree with you. And guess what? They did. Well, at the very least, the Ravens jumped on that and said, we suspending this guy.
And by the way, I expect that they're obviously going to get a heavy fine. It will not surprise me if they lose a late-round draft pick over this, too.
That would be jacked up because did the Titans lose their late-round draft pick?
I don't remember the Titans. The Raiders did, and somebody else just
But see, what the Titans did was more egregious to me because they had positive tests. And what did they do? They went out and practiced with each other knowing that people were positive.
That's tricky, too.
That's the difference.
We're going to go through this a million times. They're going to say, well, we didn't organize that. The players did that on
their
own.
That's even worse.
Right?
Like, Glenn, they're part of the organization.
Rita, I don't have the right answers to any of this.
Neither do they, and that's the problem.
We'll come back. I can't say it any better than that. We're in the Chesapeake Employers Insurance Studio, and we'll come back in, and we'll get you set up for next Tuesday night. Wednesday afternoon football, Tuesday night football, Monday night football in 3 consecutive weeks. You guys remember Sundays? I barely do. We'll come back in and do that as we wind down the Project Game Day post-game show after the Ravens lose 19-14 to the Pittsburgh Steelers.
With Wise Market's lowest price guarantee, we guarantee the lowest price in the area. If a local competitor advertises any of our tagged lowest price guarantee items at a lower price, we'll give you double the difference with purchase.
Eat better, spend less, that's Wise.
If you're looking to make an impact, there's no better place to do that than the U.S. Army. Whether your goal is to fight and cure deadly diseases, develop technologies, or seek adventures across the globe, the Army is where all of that can happen, and so much more. The Army is a team of a million individuals working together to take on the most complex problems in the nation and the world, and to win. Ask yourself, what's your warrior? Go to army.com/Baltimore to find out. To learn more, contact your local Army recruiter and find us on social media at U.S. Army Baltimore.
I forget that, like, we got to come back and do this and wrap it up. Glenn, Rita, winding down Project Game Day postgame show after the Ravens lose to the Steelers. Did not get an update on Jimmy Smith. So we'll see over the course of the next week what that means. Unfortunately, like, you hate doing this with Jimmy Smith because Jimmy Smith's been a good football player ever since he arrived in Baltimore, but this is sort of part of the deal. When it comes to Jimmy Smith, it just always seems like you know it's happening at some point. Not a lot you can do about it. It's a bummer just the way that it goes, but no update, it appears, from John Harbaugh in his postgame press conference regarding Jimmy Smith.
So as a result, obviously the Ravens were supposed to play the Cowboys tomorrow. We know that's not happening.
Right.
We play on Tuesday.
And we'll be back together next Tuesday night.
Yes, we'll be back together on Tuesday.
I We will see. I don't have a feel for anything right now. I need to know who's playing in the football game.
Well, I think we'll have a better assessment of what we think is going to happen once we realize who's available to play. And we might not even know that, Glenn, until Tuesday before the game starts, mm-hmm. who is going to play this football game. So, I want the Ravens to run the table. I will tell you that if Lamar is not playing, I feel like that chance lessens against the Cowboys, because I know that on paper the Cowboys appear to not be a good football team. However, when we've seen them play the last couple of weeks, it's not like, well, minus the game on Thanksgiving.
Right.
The 2 weeks prior to that, they haven't played horrible football. And so that's the part that we just have to be careful about how we say this, because COVID is still obviously affecting this football team. And until it's officially over, it's really hard to tell what this team can do moving forward.
Project Game Day postgame show has also been brought to you by the U.S. Army. Appreciate all of you who checked. Oh, let me quickly. Hang on a second. From Paul, I hate to bring it up, but should we as fans be bracing ourselves for Mark Andrews possibly opting out of the rest of the season due to his diabetes?
That was something that I worried about when the season started, because obviously we know having diabetes makes him at risk.
Mm-hmm.
However, he already is dealing with it, so I think it depends on how he ends up on the other side for him to determine that.
Right. I mean,
because he'll have antibodies at least for till the end of the season.
I was talking to Kyle Ottenheimer from my show, who's also a diabetic, and I am to understand the risks are not, if you are healthy and if you are handling your diabetes, and look at Mark Andrews, we're assuming that's the case. The risks really shouldn't be that significant or that much more significant than anyone else when it comes to COVID. So if you're a diabetic who's not taking care of yourself the right way,
that's a valid point.
Then they are. You do have more significant risk because of that. But if you're a diabetic who's doing everything the right way and you're in good shape, then you shouldn't be at that much of a risk. So I don't want to speculate on that too much right now. I don't think that's something that we're going to be thinking about a lot. Sam points out people in the NFL think these players are immune to this stuff. Experiencing symptoms means the risk of longer effects from the virus. It's a respiratory illness. Someone show respect for their health and safety. Guys could literally never be the same after getting the virus. Ask the guy from Jacksonville. Yeah, I mean,
the guy that got it put on
Rykel Armstead.
Yes.
We've kind of like let that story just completely disappear.
And you know why? It's because people don't know who he is. That's the biggest reason why. And honestly, it has been some studies that has also thought that this is potentially a blood vessel disease in addition to a respiratory disease. So again, we don't know about this virus, Glenn. We don't know. If you guys have an opportunity, please find the 60 Minutes where they have the long, I believe it's from last, if it's not last week, it's 2 weeks ago. They do a segment called The Long Haulers. And it is a very interesting topic
mm-hmm.
about people who are still showing after effects. And these are not respiratory effects, guys. This one lady literally, who was a runner, literally said her feet, like it felt like somebody had weights on her feet and she couldn't walk. And she's still not able to run as a result of having COVID. Has had blood tests, has had an MRI. Everything has come back positive, and yet she is still showing after effects, not even related to her lungs. So these are things that we have to take into account, because we still don't know what this can do to our bodies. And it is a case-to-case basis depending on the individual.
No doubt. No doubt. Great point. Great point, Rita. Thank you for that. All right, we will be back next Tuesday night. I'll be back tomorrow morning with Kyle for Glenn Clark Radio. Bo Smolka was out in Pittsburgh for the game. He'll check in. Bradley Bozeman scheduled to check in with us. And then Rita and I will be back together on Tuesday night, hopefully like looking more like football, hopefully something a little more representative on the field, and hopefully we don't have to start drinking at halftime to get ourselves through it. Although we might.
Well,
just
got it here.
Yeah,
just
and we could just choose to. That could also just be the choice. Could just be that we choose to. Thank you all for joining us tonight. We'll see you next Tuesday. Ravens lose 19-14. This has been the Project Game Day. Oh, quickly, plugs at the NFL Chick.
At the NFL Chick and Gridiron Gals.
Thank you. Thank you. At Glenn Clark Radio. See you next Tuesday.